Well, we really are going to be continuing our worship this morning in what I'm bringing. It's always interesting when you've prepared something to bring and then what we sing in worship effectively brings a lot of what the things that I've got that I wanted to say this morning. So I really sense that God is on this and on this, as we'll see, as we get into some of the scriptures. Some of the things that we've been singing this morning are straight out of the scriptures that I have, that Evan didn't know I was, you know, when he was choosing songs, he didn't know that I was going to bring any of these particular scriptures. And so, yeah, Father, I pray that you would speak to us. I pray, Father God, that you would have your way with us this morning. I pray that we would hear clearly what it is that you're wanting to say. Come, Holy Spirit, we ask. So this year we are celebrating 30 years of Open Door Church. Do you remember that? We started the year in January celebrating 30 years of the church. And as part of this, we felt that it would be helpful to come back and reflect some more towards the end of the year on our journey. And particularly, we want to focus in on what God has said to us and called us to be as a church. We are a church who are built on prophetic promises. Do we believe that? We are built on prophetic promises. We are who we are, and we do what we do because God has shaped us. And it's a delight to us that we have lots of new people with us over recent months and over the last couple of years or whatever. We've had lots of people coming in through the door. And it's exciting to be moving to a new venue. We love the newness of life that Jesus brings, don't we? But also, we don't want to lose the old. We don't want to lose what God has said and what God has done in the past and what God has put into us, in our DNA, in the essence of who we are at Open Door, the church that God has made us to be. We believe that God has said things to us in the past that are still relevant for who we are and how we do things today. And it's really important that as new people come in, that we remind ourselves of these things. We dust them off. We believe, you see, that God still speaks today. He speaks to individuals. He speaks to groups of people. He speaks to families, to churches, and to whole nations. When we make space, when we tune into him, he loves to get our attention. He loves to mold us. He loves to direct us. And of course, primarily he does that through the Bible, doesn't he? And so that's why we encourage everyone who is a believer, everyone who is a follower of Jesus, and even if you're exploring, you're not yet a believer, you're exploring who Jesus is, the Bible is the place to go. Pick it up and read it for yourself. Listen to the Bible being spoken about by others. Meditate on it through each day. And we can do that on our own, and we can do that together with other people. And as we do, God brings life through his word. But we also believe that God still speaks today through the prophetic. And we're going to unpack this a little bit more over the coming weeks about how God speaks to us and how we receive the prophetic from God. But just as a kind of intro to this, we believe that God speaks to us and draws us in different ways. He might communicate with us through different means. One way he might do it is through an instinct or through a sense that we feel, a feeling, if you like. It might be something that we see physically with our eyes that God gets our attention with, or it might be something that we see in our mind, in our imagination, that God brings a picture into our mind or something that grabs our attention and we know that God has put that there. It might be a memory that God brings back from the past. It might be a dream that God gives us in the middle of the night. It could be a word that stands out to us as we're listening to somebody speak to us, or as we're listening to something on the TV even, or wherever it might be, we might hear a word that just stands out. We know God is on that word. It might be a word that just pops into our head as we're going about our day. It could be an audible voice. God does speak with an audible voice, but I just want to make the point that when we talk about God speaking to us, often that is in ways that are different to that. He can speak in an audible voice, and there are people that hear the audible voice of God and have done in the past, but God gets our attention and speaks to us in many different ways. And the key thing is that when God speaks to us, we must listen. It's not enough just for God to speak to us. We must listen, and actually beyond that, we must obey. We must live out. We must act out the things that God speaks to us. As we listen and as we hear, we then obey and we act. And I was just wondering this week as I was preparing, how often does God speak to me and I miss it? How often does God speak to each one of us and we miss out on something of the goodness and of the life that he wants to bring because we just weren't tuned in, or we weren't listening, or we weren't kind of on his wavelength, if you like, in that moment? I want to read some verses from Isaiah chapter 55. So this is actually a prophetic, Isaiah was a prophet, this is a prophetic word that came to the people of God through a person. So God was speaking to the people through a man called Isaiah. And this is the Lord speaking through Isaiah, and it says this: "Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy?" The word "come" is repeated there many times. Come, come, come. This is an invitation. This is an invitation from the Lord to his people. He's saying, come. And as we read on, we see something of what we're invited to come and do. He says this: "Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear to me and come to me. Listen that you may live." Verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." See, this is an invitation to come to the Lord and to listen, to come and tune in our ears. It goes on in verse 10, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word, the Lord says, that goes out from my mouth, and it will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow, and this will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever." And what this is saying is that as we turn our ears to God and as we listen to him through his words, the Bible, and as we look at the word that became flesh, John chapter 1 speaks about Jesus as the word who became flesh. As we look at Jesus, we receive life. But also as we listen to prophetic words that come from God, there is life that comes. There is joy that comes. There is provision that comes. There are plans that are accomplished. Where there are dead things around, life bursts forth. And so we want to revisit some significant prophetic themes and promises from over the last 30 years of this church, to dust them off, to uncover the wells, to let the living water sort of shoot and spring up out of it. And of course, one of the things we can do is we can use these prophetic promises if we feel like we haven't seen enough of that yet. We can use it as fuel for our prayers. As we receive prophetic words that speak about the life that God wants to bring, we can pray. We must pray into those prophetic words so that that life can flow. Are you with me?
Yes.
Good. So today we are going right back to the beginning of the church. And I want to look at what potentially could have been one of the first prophetic words of the church and would have been one of the first prophetic acts, if you like, of the church. And that is the name of the church in and of itself: Open Door Church. What does that mean? Open Door Church. And there was a catchphrase that came in the very early days of the church, a phrase that came with the name. It was open door, open to God, open to you. And I want to unpack that a little bit today. What does it mean to be open to God and open to you? And if we flick on, actually, you can see here the very first logo of Open Door Church. And you can see very much enacted in that image is an open door. And so it was a prophetic name, it was a prophetic logo, and you can see this is the one of the, this is the icon, if you like, or the logo that we have today, and it's maybe not as, quite as obvious as the original one, but there's an open door right in the middle of our logo there. And you know, I realized that I didn't actually know how the name came about. I didn't actually know, you know, was it a specific prophetic word? You know, how did the leadership team, when the church was being planted, come to call the church Open Door Church? And so what I did is I messaged Tony Thompson, who, if you remember, he came to speak at the beginning of the year. He was the guy who was leading the team 30 years ago. And this is what he said. He said it came out of the vision for the church. The vision for the church was to be an open door. And really, in their minds at the time, those that were part of that team, there were two things. A church that would reach out to everyone, especially those not used to going to church. That was the first thing. A church that would reach out to everyone, especially those that were not used to going to church. And also, a church that pursued the Holy Spirit, not as a super spiritual thing, but in a user-friendly way. He said that at the time, there was a lot of kind of seeker-sensor theology around, which was saying that we should dial down in our meetings the work of the Holy Spirit so that seekers would feel comfortable, more comfortable coming in. And he was like, we want to be welcoming to seekers, but we don't want to dial down the Holy Spirit as part of that. That was part of, they were the two things that the leadership team had in mind when they planted this church. A church where welcoming the Spirit was essential for all. And a church that was open to people coming in, especially those who have never been in a church before. And he says, we were clear that it wasn't one, it wasn't the other, but it was both. And once we had this clear vision, the name and the catchphrase followed. Open door, open to God, open to you. You see, it's significant. It's significant, the name of the church, that right in those early days was a foundation, a prophetic foundation of who the church was called to be. And we need to dust that off, and we need to uncover that, and we need to work out how do we live that out? How do we act on that as a church 30 years later? So what does it mean to be open to God? Well, I preached from Acts chapter 2 recently, and this amazing day in history where Jesus' disciples were together and the Holy Spirit was poured out on them powerfully with wind and fire and other languages. And as they spilled out onto the streets, people from many nations heard the wonders of God in their own language. And about 3,000 were added to their number on that day. And if you remember, the people looking on asked this question, what does this mean? And last time that I spoke on this, I said that Peter stood up to explain, and he made it all about Jesus and his good news. He kept the main thing, the main thing. He got up and he said, this is all about Jesus who died and rose again and now has ascended to the Father. And he is the one that's poured out this Holy Spirit that you now see. He kept the main thing, the good news of Jesus, the main thing. But he did also talk as well about this pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And we didn't get to unpack that last time too much. So I wanted to touch on that today. In Acts chapter 2, verse 16, we read this as Peter stands up. He says, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. There's a prophetic encouragement there to be people who are full of the Spirit and who prophesy, right? And it goes on, I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. One of the things about prophetic language is it often comes in pictorial language and images, which we then have to kind of interpret. What does all of that mean? And there's lots of stuff we could go into there right now. but we're not going to because we haven't got time. But the thing that I particularly want to pull out of this is that the Holy Spirit was for all. The Holy Spirit would be poured out for all people. And this was different than what the people of the time were used to. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was poured out on individuals, particular people, for specific tasks. But there had always been this promise of more to come, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out for all people. Jesus himself, he promised not to leave the disciples alone. He said, "When I go, I will not leave you but as orphans, but I will send you an advocate. I will send you a helper who will come. The Holy Spirit who will come, and he will remind you of everything that I've taught you," and all kinds of other things that the Holy Spirit comes to help us with. And in Acts chapter 2, what we're seeing is the fulfillment of this. And at the end of Peter's preach in Acts chapter 2, when the people are asking, "What shall we do?" Peter says, "Repent and be baptized." We looked at that last time. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." And then he says this, "And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Who has repented and been baptized in this room this morning? Lots of us. Wave at me. Lots of us have repented and been baptized. Who has been called by God? We have been called by God. We've been drawn to him. Anyone that's responded to Jesus has been called by God. And the promise is for all who the Lord our God will call, that you will receive the Holy Spirit too. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. There is an open door, a pouring out of the Holy Spirit that is for all people. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, he helps us in lots of different ways. He emboldens us as witnesses. We heard last week about how we are to be those that go out as witnesses to Jesus. And we don't do that on our own. We need the Holy Spirit's help. The Holy Spirit emboldens us as witnesses. The Holy Spirit assures us that we are children of God. Romans chapter 5, I think it is, talks about the Holy Spirit helping our spirit to cry out, "Abba, Father," that we know that God is our Father through the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us peace in all situations. Whatever circumstances and storms of life that we may face, the Holy Spirit comes and brings the peace of Jesus into those circumstances. The Holy Spirit transforms the way that we live. He changes us as the things of the world get cut away and as the fruit of the Spirit grows in our lives, the Holy Spirit brings change and transformation. And the Holy Spirit equips us with gifts, spiritual gifts that God imparts into us and into the church so that we can witness and so that we can be all that God is calling us to be with one another and to the world. Open Door Church, we are called to be open to God, open to the Holy Spirit, a spirit-filled church where all that are part of the church who are believers in Jesus would be filled with the Holy Spirit, where that would be the normal Christian life to walk full of the Spirit day by day, that there would be things that happen in and amongst us that can only be God. I wonder, do you believe this to be true? Do you live as though this is the case? Is there evidence amongst us of us being open to God in this way? I would say, yes, there is, but there's room for much more. We need to open that door wider. That open door needs to be thrown wide. Come, Holy Spirit, would you come upon us? Would you come upon us now? Would you come upon us as we go into that new building, that we would be a people that are open to God, open, full of the Holy Spirit. That's my prayer. And as I say, you know, I want to encourage us that God gives us prophetic words that we don't necessarily see come into fruition immediately. Sometimes we have to wait and we have to be patient, but what we do is we pray them in. So this is one for us to keep praying in. The other thing that I felt God speak to me about as I was preparing for this message, And I just, it's very simple, but I found it very helpful and very revelationary for me, is that when there is an open door, it can be walked through in two directions. Okay, when there is an open door, you can go through it one way and you can go through it another way because it's open. And so what I felt God speaking to me about is that in the early days of the church, that would have been very much what the team were feeling, is that it's an open door for God to come by his Holy Spirit. But as well as expecting the Holy Spirit to come and be amongst us, there is another aspect of being open to God, which is about us walking through an open door to heaven's throne room. And we've been singing about this all morning, Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5, which is another prophetic vision that was given to John and that he wrote in the last book of the Bible. And it says this at the start of chapter 4. I'm not going to have time to read both chapters in full, but just a few verses. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here. See, it's another invitation to come up and to see, to come through another open door and to see. And what we see is in these chapters is an incredible, as we go through this incredible open door into heaven, we see this glorious picture of heaven's throne room where the Lord is enthroned in majesty and power. Lots of pictorial language about what that looks like. Elders and angelic beings that are constantly worshiping the Lord on the throne, falling to the floor, casting their crowns and crying out the songs that we have sung this morning. Worthy, our Lord, our God, are you to receive glory and honor and power. And then this scroll appears in the hand of the one on the throne. And it says, no one was worthy to open the scroll. And there's this kind of weeping that comes because no one is able to open the scroll until the Lamb appears. This Lamb appears who has been slain, looking like one who has been slain, who is also the Lion of Judah. And it talks about this Lion and the Lamb that we've had described to us this morning. God wants to get our attention with this. Even today, he's speaking to us about a Lion and he's speaking about a Lamb. And it says the Lamb and the Lion, the Lamb of God, he was worthy to open the scroll. And we read this, verse 7 of chapter 4. He went, he took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb. Each one had a harp. Listen to this. Each one had a harp and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Our prayers, God's people, our prayers are in this prophetic picture in the throne room of heaven. Our prayers are like incense in the throne room of heaven that come before God. That is the kind of open access that we have, that even today we can pray. And as we worship, and we sang this morning about incense, I can't remember the line of the song, but it was a song about incense that was just burning day and night. That is our prayers. That is our worship of the Lamb on the throne. It says they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. And they will reign on the earth. This is a picture of worship. This is a picture of Jesus, the Lamb of God, on the throne. And it's only through him that we can come before God. You see, it's Jesus that has opened the door. Jesus is the door. He is the way. He is the one who has removed the barrier of sin. He's made a highway to the throne. And yes, he willingly comes to us by his Holy Spirit. He steps out through the throne room of heaven. He sends his Holy Spirit out through the throne room of heaven to us, to fill us and to help us. But he also invites us in to step in through the open door, an invitation to come and have full access to the throne room of God. And as we do that, we can communicate with God in prayer. our prayers and that incense that comes before him, and we know that God is mighty and powerful, and he hears our prayers and he responds, and he has all resources and he has all power and he has all authority. And so we don't need to fear anything. We can come confidently knowing that he is all powerful, that he is mighty. We can share in his victory. We have access to all of heaven's resources. What an open door that we have. This is what it means to be open to God. Do we live as though that open door even exists? When we're praying for people, there's a lot of people in the church at the moment that are going through difficult times. Since I've been thinking about this, even just this week, I've been praying for people differently because I'm imagining myself going through that open door. And I'm imagining my prayers coming up as incense before the throne of God. And I'm imagining the God of all power and all creation then hearing and seeing that situation and being able to transform that situation. Isn't it amazing that we have open access to heaven's throne room? Isn't it amazing that we have the Holy Spirit who's been sent through the open door of heaven to come and be our helper? And I'm going to bring another time that open to you part of this. I'm kind of torn because I don't know if Pat's in the room. Pat brought a prophetic, an encouragement. Even as we were praying this morning, she said, bring everything that you've got, but I feel like we need to pause here. I feel like actually we need to pray and we need to respond to this, and time's gone, and actually we need to give time to looking it open to you as well as looking it open to God. I'm going to ask, would you stand with me? Maybe Becky, why don't you just come and play for a minute? I just want to encourage us to respond and to know that there is an open doorway where God comes to us and we can come to him in both directions. Both directions are incredibly good news for us. Both directions are incredibly significant, important for us. And this is who we are as a church. We are called Open Door because it's a reminder of this doorway to God. This open to God. We are open to God. It's not just we're open to God coming and doing something if he wants to. It's not just that. It's a reminder that the doorway has been thrown open by Jesus. Do you remember the tabernacle that I built here a few months ago? Some of you remember it, some of you think, what is he talking about? But we kind of built a bit of a makeshift tabernacle. And one of the points that I was making is that only the high priest could come in. Only the high priest could come in once a year. And there was this curtain in the tabernacle that was just like separated everyone else from coming in. But when Jesus died, the curtain was torn in two. The access was thrown open. And now it's not just the high priest that can come into the most holy of holies, but every one of us can come through that open doorway to him. Yes. Why don't we just thank him? Just lift our voices. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Let's lift our voices together. Jesus, I want to thank you that we can come, that there is no barrier. I thank you that there is full access, that we can come, that we are open to you, that there's an invitation, you say, come. Come, come. Come, all who are hungry. Come, all who are thirsty. Come, all who are weary. Come and encounter God who is on the throne, the Lamb, the Lion. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, you've made us sons and daughters, that we can come as your children. We thank you that we can come confidently. We thank you that we have all access to your resources. We thank you that our prayers are heard. We thank you there is no shame. We thank you that there is no guilt. We thank you that there is no barrier between us and you, if we called on the name of Jesus, that you've dealt with all of that. And we can come confidently as we are, knowing that we're loved, assured of your goodness to us. We thank you, Jesus. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit who has been poured out to come through that open doorway of heaven and to come to us on earth so that we would not be left alone, Jesus, when you've ascended to the throne. And you're with the Father once again in the throne room of heaven. Lord Jesus, you are here by your Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the part of God who is left with us here on earth. Right now, we can receive him. He is poured out, he is given. And there's an invitation to come and receive right now. I want to encourage you, if you recognize you need more of the Holy Spirit today, just put your hands out in front of you. I'm just going to pray a simple prayer, which is, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, would you fall on us afresh? Would you fall on us afresh as a church? We are crying out to you, Lord God. We need your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we need you. We cannot be all that you're calling us to be in our own strength. Our best made plans are never going to be enough, Lord God. But your ways are higher and your plans are higher than our ways. Come, Holy Spirit, would you guide us? Would you help us? Would you meet with us? Would you come and pour out upon us? Would you baptize us again? That we would walk day by day by day full of your Holy Spirit. Would you embolden our witness? Would you assure us of your love? Would there be fruit of the Spirit in our lives? Would the worldly flesh fall away? Would the gifts of the Spirit, would they flow through us as a church? Father God, we are crying out to you with that name which is we were named as an open door, open to God. The access to God is open. God, would that be a prophetic picture of what you want to continue to do in us for the next 30 years? God, when we enter this new building, would you pour your Spirit out upon us? That your presence would dwell with us. That we would know what it is that God would dwell with us. Come, Lord God, we pray. Come, Lord God, we pray. We need you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We welcome you, Lord Jesus. Come. Come by your Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus.